I am the good shepherd, John 10:11-21. Let's look again at the first two key verses I chose for John chapter 10. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. We discussed this wonderful statement in the first section. Jesus came to give us true life and abundant life in him. In this next section, we'll focus on the following verse, which is John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for us. He died in our place and took the judgment we deserved so that we may have true life in him. Through Jesus, we came into a real love relationship with God. He is our shepherd who loves us. He cares for us and leads us. One of the main ways he leads us and speaks to us is through the Bible. Let us come to God's word knowing that he is the good shepherd. Let's trust him to feed us, to lead us, and to speak to us through our time in the word today. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the good shepherd. Thank you that you care for us, lead us, and speak to us. We trust you to give us abundant life in you today. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. So John 10:11-21, I am the good shepherd. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What did Jesus teach about the good shepherd? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. This is the fourth I am statement Jesus made in the Gospel of John. Remember, he said, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, and I am the gate. Jesus is the good shepherd. He provides everything we need. He meets our physical needs for food, water, and sustenance, and he satisfies our souls. In the previous section, we read Psalm 23:1-2, which says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Let's read the rest of Psalm 23, beginning with verse 3, which describes how the good shepherd takes care of us. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for us and provides everything we truly need. He is always with us and leads us. He heals and restores our soul when we're hurting. Even in times of death or defeat, he protects us and encourages us so that our heart overflows. We know that the goodness and mercy of the Lord will be ours all the days of our lives, and we will be with him forever. Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life on the cross so that we could have abundant and eternal life with him. Jesus affirmed 5 times in this passage that he was willingly laying down his life for us. We need to understand that Jesus is our shepherd and we are his sheep. It is a real relationship. He loves us, cares for us, leads us, and speaks to us. He died for us so that we might have abundant life in him. Our job as sheep is to trust him and follow him and obey him. The Pharisees could not grasp what Jesus was saying about the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. However, after Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, surely some of them finally understood what Jesus meant. Perhaps they recalled the words of Isaiah 53:4-6. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment of that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, and each one of us turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Perhaps we'll meet some of them in heaven who finally realized that the Good Shepherd laid down his life for them. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. I'm sorry, that was verse 12. We're reading verse 12. I'll start again. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. What did Jesus teach about thieves and hired hands? We had some sheep on my parents' farm many years ago. One day, dogs came to attack the sheep when we were away and killed a few sheep. Once they tasted blood, they kept coming back. I guess we were like the hired hands because we were not always there to protect the sheep. We did have rifles and could shoot the dogs, but not if we were not there when they attacked the sheep. There was no one there to protect them. In Jesus' day, they did not have guns, so a person would have to risk their life to protect the sheep. Hired hands did not care for the sheep, so they would run away in fear if a wolf came and to attack the sheep. Jesus was talking about false shepherds and religious leaders who did not care for the sheep. This included many of the Pharisees and Jewish leaders. They cared only about themselves. Unfortunately, there are many pastors and religious leaders today who are not true shepherds and who do not care for the sheep. Jesus will deal with them. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. What a wonderful verse. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. What did Jesus teach about the relationship of the good shepherd has with his sheep? In verse 10, Jesus said that he is the good shepherd, and that he would lay down his life for the sheep. In verse 14, he said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Jesus was talking about having an intimate personal relationship with his sheep, which includes us. In the Gospel of John, the word know, N-O-W, means much more than intellectual awareness. It speaks of an intimate relationship with God, between God and his people. Jesus knew the Father and lived in an intimate love relationship with him. He said that he knows his sheep in the same way. He was talking about an intimate relationship that is real and personal. Jesus added at the end of verse 15, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus had already said this in verse 10. I think he said this again to emphasize his love for the sheep. Similar words are found in Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus sacrificed his life for us, not just so that we could go to heaven when we die, but so that we could live in a love relationship with him. Again, the Pharisees did not understand the love of God or that they could know him and live in a love relationship with him. I think Jesus said these things about the sheep and the shepherd not only for us, but in an attempt to give the Pharisees and religious leaders a picture of what it means to know God and walk with him. Jesus wanted them to come out of dead religion and live in love relationship with God. Jesus wanted them to know that he is the good shepherd who would care for them as his own sheep. Jesus would lay down his life for them so that they could be saved and know their shepherd. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. what did Jesus teach about his other sheep? This is a short verse, and probably no one listening really understood it at the time Jesus spoke these words, including the disciples of Jesus. However, after Jesus died and rose from the grave, it proved to be central to God's plan for the world. When Jesus said, "I have other sheep that are not of this pen," he was talking about the Gentiles who had come to believe in him and become part of his body, the church. The church is one in Christ, who is the head of the body. He is the shepherd of all believers. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world, including both Jews and Gentiles. Although the Old Testament talks about the nations coming to him from beginning to end, most Jews thought they were the only ones who would be saved. Even Jesus' disciples did not understand that the Gentiles would be saved and become part of one new man in Christ with Jewish believers. The book of Acts explains how God revealed to the early church that Gentiles could be saved by faith without becoming Jews. The focus of Acts is on how the gospel spread to non-Jewish peoples through the known world after Jesus' ascension to heaven. Verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, not my life, only to take it up again. Verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it again. This command I receive from my Father. What did Jesus teach again about the Good Shepherd? This is an ongoing theme in this passage. Well, Jesus laid down his life for us by dying on the cross for our sins. He willingly died in our place, taking our punishment so that we might be free from sin, so that we could serve the living God. This was the Father's command. Peter spoke of Christ laying down his life according to the will and plan of the Father in Acts 2:23. He said, "This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." So this whole plan was God's plan, the Father's plan. The cross was the Father's plan. However, Jesus stressed that he had authority to lay down his life and to take it up again, referring to the resurrection. Verse 19, the Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Some people today respond like the Jewish leaders in these verses. Some said, "He is demon-possessed and insane." Others said, "What he says are not the words of a demonized person, and demons can't make blind people see, can they?" Some reacted to Jesus' words because they could not grasp what Jesus was really saying. Others did not really understand, but realized that Jesus wasn't crazy. I think Jesus even loved the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders who did not believe in him. Almost all of John chapter 10 was spoke directly to them. Even though they did not understand, rejected him, and tried to stone Jesus, he told them about the way of salvation, about the Good Shepherd, and about abundant life that he freely gives us. Perhaps we should have more faith and patience for some people we know who may seem hard, like the Pharisees. Some of them, like the Apostle Paul, will meet Jesus and be transformed forever through the love and mercy of our Lord. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are our shepherd. Thank you that you are the Good Shepherd who loves us, leads us, speaks to us, provides for us. Thank you that you pursue a relationship with us that's real and personal, like that of a sheep with their shepherd. And thank you that you spoke these wonderful words to the Pharisees who were rejecting you and attacking you. Thank you for your great love and mercy. Amen.